Good evening, and welcome to Art World Innovators, exploring stories of innovation in the art world. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Our guest this evening is UK artist Lauren Mealy, born in France, raised in the UK, and trained at the Art Institute of Boston in the US, where she graduated with her Bachelor of Fine Arts. Lauren then studied art history at Sotheby's Institute of Art in London and graduated with her Master's in Contemporary Art. She works from her studio in London and has exhibited widely, recently at the Art Rooms Roma in Rome, also in the Saatchi's other art fair in London. In the fall, she had her work included in the Vienna Calling event at the Gallery Art Pool in Vienna. She's also had work at the London Art Fair, the Scottish Arts Club in Edinburgh, and more. She's been commissioned for public artwork, such as her new Concordia Wharf mural in London, and been involved in collective exhibits, such as the International WITP Collective Exhibition in Amsterdam, hosted by ArtCan. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
You've had the opportunity to study fine arts and studio program at the University in Boston, as well as art history and contemporary art at Sotheby's Institute of Art in London. Can you tell us about your training and related experiences since graduating and how this has informed your practice?
Sure. My undergraduate program in Boston, I was classically trained there. And then Sotheby's Institute of Art in London was focused more on contemporary art history and theory. So the two actually complemented each other quite well, both kind of on the opposite ends of the contemporary art and traditional applied art spectrum. And they both really sort of, I've taken a lot from each of those courses and put them together in my current practice. So I have a very gestural representational style of painting, but I am also thinking about contemporary issues as well in my work.
You have an exciting portfolio of various intriguing concepts and engaging narrative compositions and vibrant colors and dynamic rhythmic movements. As your narratives unfold, can you share a little about your creative process and what makes your painting so innovative and sets you apart?
Sure. First of all, thank you. I love to have that feedback about the color and the innovation. I start with being quite introspective about what I'm sort of dealing with in my everyday life and how it sort of affects my mental energy. And that's sort of where I start. I then sort of work from memory because I feel like there's a vibrancy in working from something that is so internalized, especially when you're putting it out into the world. So there's an instability and unreliability in using memory. So that sort of informs what direction I am going to move in as far as putting paint to canvas. And my process from there is sort of I look at other artists who inspire me and other imagery that's relevant to what I'm working towards. And I sort of put together a composition that I feel is not only relevant in those respects, but also successful as far as balance and color and conversation goes within the painting.
And who would you say some of the artists that have stood out for you over the years are that might have been part of that influence and inspiration?
Sure. Lisa Yuskovich is one painter. She paints mainly the female form in an exaggerated fashion. She actually studied under another artist whose work I enjoyed looking at until I found hers, called John Curran. And I also look at work by Jenny Saville because of the way she handles the figure and the texture she sort of pulls out of the female form and skin. It's just really gritty and really, really present. And I really like that about her work. And then there are a couple of other artists who I look at from time to time as well, but those are two main influences in my work today.
So you've been working on your Siren series and exploring dialogues and portrayals of women that engage the viewer in somewhat seductive narratives. How did this series evolve, and did it come from some of the other artists you've mentioned?
Yeah, so thus my current series, the Siren series, is very much informed by the idea of feminism, but more importantly, the idea that feminism doesn't have to be an abrasive concept, that it can actually be very feminine. And it's often that those two terms are at the opposite ends of the spectrum, which I feel is a little bit problematic because I feel like they should go hand in hand, really, and not feel so separate. The Siren series that I'm working on, the imagery is mainly derived from glamour magazines such as Playboy and other types of those kinds of publications that are a little bit it, kind of objectifying women. And I have found it interesting to sort of pull out those figures and isolate them. It recontextualizes them, and it sort of gives off this seductive narrative, but in a more sort of 60s, 50s pinup throwback kind of revival, which I think is interesting because it sort of does indicate how timeless the female form is. And then also with the prefix siren, you're looking at mythological history anyway, whereby it implies that this form, this woman, is not only beautiful and seductive, but also in a position of power and potentially slightly dangerous. So I think that all of those points brought together create an interesting conversation alongside this image of something that is quite beautiful and quite feminine, but also has a bit of lust to it as well.
And you've had some of the series in various exhibits and events. Can you tell us about those and maybe some of the other ones you've been involved in?
Sure. So the Siren series is fairly new. I've been working on it for probably about a year now, and that was born out of my previous work. There was sort of a transition there where I was looking a lot at myself as a reference for the imagery I was creating. So there has been sort of my work has evolved into this Siren series, and each time they're exhibited, I get feedback about the direction that I'm taking, and I learn more and more about myself and my practice as I exhibit more broadly. The most recent exhibition at the Saatchi Other Art Fair in London was really interesting because that was the first time that I had several of the sirens exhibited together in one place, and actually seeing, I think, 6 or 8 paintings next to each other, it actually is almost a little bit, it can be really quite provocative and a little bit intimidating for the viewers to come and be surrounded by these very in-your-face and quite seductive women. So that was interesting. And then some of my previous exhibitions, a lot of them have been group shows. I do a lot of work with a couple of different collectives, so it's also interesting to see the paintings next to some work by other people who are working with similar themes but have a different way of expressing them. So it is actually really interesting taking the work out of the studio, and depending on how and where you're exhibiting them, the different kinds of conversations that can come up internally and externally.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the collectives that you've been involved in and how they've been beneficial to your art practice and keeping you connected?
Sure, yeah. They've been a really valuable part of my practice for the past couple of years. I really appreciate a lot of the communities that I work in, and I feel like, especially in a city like London, which is so competitive, it's actually really great to feel like your allies are other artists, even though you are kind of in direct competition with each other in a way. One of the collectives I'm involved with is called ArtCan. And that's a pretty broad network of artists who are not only based in London, but also throughout the UK. We have some in Europe and some in the States. And actually, I think a couple in Australia now. But that's really interesting because we get together a couple of times a year. There are several exhibition opportunities within the collective, and you sort of take turns curating the exhibitions. You can get as involved or not as you would like. And it's a very collaborative collective, and everybody sort of works together, and there's a lovely network of people who are involved with that. And the idea is really sort of to support each other, not only in creating work, but also how to market your work, what sort of strategy you should be looking at over, you know, a 6-month period. So it can be really helpful and a great support. So that's ArtCan. And then I'm involved with another collective called The Tunnel, which is, I'd say, a little bit more community driven. It's much smaller, and there's a handful of about 20 artists, and we actively seek exhibition spaces, alternative exhibition spaces to show our work, whether that's an old church. We showed in an old delicatessen, which was really interesting. And we get together once a week and, you know, discuss exhibition themes. We usually use literature as a basis to depart from. And it's a different vibe and a different sort of point of engagement. But each collective really does, they're both really valuable in their own ways. And it's really nice to have this connection with these different groups of people, and there is crossover, and the support is amazing. So I definitely value the friendships and connections that I've made through those.
You have mentioned in an interview before that you're an artist full-time at heart, part-time in reality, and based on some of the challenges of supporting yourself as an artist, what would you advise new artists and how to persist, and maybe a few tips on marketing their art?
Sure. Yeah, it's a really good question that I continue to find answers for myself. I'd say that one of the keys to sort of making it work is persistence and flexibility. Persistence probably being the first and foremost. I have had a slew of different part-time jobs over the past several years, you know, and a lot of trial and error to see what works well with my practice, but I've always put that first and foremost. So if something else isn't working, that's the part of my life that will actually be sacrificed. It'll never be the art making. So in that respect, you have to be really selfish. So that, I'd say, is really important. Self-marketing is an absolute must today. It's funny because it's not something that older generations of artists necessarily had to deal with, but today there's no way around it. So a social media presence is crucial. And just making it a part of your practice, think of it as like a visual diary, which is actually a healthy thing to have in your practice anyway. Yeah, I mean, I think just a lot of persistence and a lot of, at the beginning, a lot of bravery. it totally pays off.
What was one of the more exciting and adventurous commissions that you've worked on or have coming up?
Sure. So I'd say probably my most exciting commission that I've done, and which was totally out of my comfort zone, was to do a mural for a roof terrace garden. And there were so many things, there were so many unknowns in this. One was, how do you prepare for a mural? Because you have to inevitably go through a several month period of back and forth with plans, drawings, palettes, ideas with the person who's commissioning the mural. And then I've never made anything quite to the scale that this mural was done. And also, acrylic paint is kind of the foremost medium for doing something outdoors. So there were a lot of elements that were unfamiliar to me. That being said, it was very exciting, and it really paid off. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Luckily, the weather was great for the 4 days that I was working on it, which is really hard to get in London. So that was great. I'd say that the run-up to doing the mural was actually almost the most fun, because I went back and forth with drawings, and it was almost a collaborative process, which is always interesting. That was probably my most exciting, adventurous commission to date. I definitely hope to have some more.
Do you have any other exhibits or events coming up that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Well, I have an open studio coming up next weekend, which is in London. So it's probably going to be a little far for some of your local listeners.
A little. But
maybe a little. And then I'll potentially be exhibiting in the fall edition of the London Saatchi Other Art Fair.
Nice.
So that will be at the end of October. And then other than that, as you know, Susan, I'm in the middle of moving studios, so I'll probably just have my head down over the summer and be creating new work.
So tell me a little about your new studio.
Sure. So my new studio is actually connected to my home, which is the first for me. I've never worked from home before, but this new setup I have is like a little sort of conservatory off the back end of the property. And I say property, it's not big. It's very small.
Sounds like London.
I know. This is not grand by any means. But it's interesting because it's all glass. So I have a lot of natural light. And it's absolutely going to be an adjustment being able to sort of roll out of bed and into the studio.
Yeah.
So I'm still sort of coming to terms with that. I'm enjoying it so far. The one thing that I think I am going to miss is having the communal aspect, because in the past, my studios have always been in big open plan artist studio warehouses, which, you know, they have their drawbacks, but it's also really nice to have other artists right on your doorstep. So stay tuned, but I have a feeling this one's going to be good too.
Oh, great. I'm really glad to hear that. Well,
yeah.
I'd like to thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing your story and insight. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you continued success.
No, thank you so much. Thank you.
That was artist Lauren Mealy speaking with us from London, England. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Art World Innovators on UMFM 101.5. With us this evening is Sarah Jasmine, a freelance arts writer and editor based in Manchester, contributing to art publications including Art Monthly, Aesthetica, AN News, Artsy, This Is Tomorrow, and The Double Negative. She is also the editor for Paper Magazine, the exhibitions editor for The Creative Tourist, regional editor for Corridor 8, and co-founder and editor-in-chief of the Foudrinier. She did her master's in art history and visual studies at the University of Manchester and her undergraduate degree in English literature at the University of Sheffield. Sarah has previously worked for arts organizations, including Liverpool Biennale, Manchester Art Gallery, and regularly produces independently commissioned texts for a range of independent artists, galleries, and arts organizations. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
No problem, Susan.
You have a very eloquent and engaging writing style with a specialization in arts, culture, and lifestyle. Can you tell us about your background and your training in literature and art history and how this foundation has combined to move you so successfully into the writing and editing for the many arts and culture publications you contribute to?
That's very kind, firstly. Thank you very much. I guess I would say that it's been a fairly traditional route into art writing, possibly in some respects. I really enjoyed doing my English literature degree, but I did find as the course went on that actually, although I love reading and literature, the thing that I was enjoying most was the kind of process of writing as much as writing about literature. So I guess it was around then that I started to really experiment with the writing process itself and become more interested in that. Also around the time of my BA that I started writing reviews, as I went along kind of on the off chance to one of the editor meetings for the university newspaper and just kind of put myself forward on a whim. I think one of my friends was doing it, so I just tagged along. But I actually found the process of writing a review a complete education, but also a very rewarding and enjoyable one. So that was kind of going on in the background. And then by the time I got to the end of my degree, I still wanted to stay in education, and I was kind of harboring this growing interest in art and art writing. And so I decided to do a master's in art history just to try and expand my knowledge a bit more, and because I guess it was just kind of following the thing that I thought I would enjoy the most at the time. And I'm really glad I chose that, and that I chose to do it at Manchester, because it was a very kind of, the course there was very open and quite broad in terms of art history. It was art history and visual studies, so quite encompassing. And my tutor there, Carol Maver, is quite a well-known art writer in her own right, and does have a very particular, quite creative writing style herself, and kind of encouraged that in terms of her students' work. So that was a great education. Those elements were going on, and throughout my studies, I was continuing to kind of pitch for reviews and to carry on writing about art alongside studying, which I think was really important because it meant that I was developing that skill constantly and becoming more comfortable and confident with it. I guess when I got to the end of my studies, I went and got a full-time office job and was doing that, kind of thinking I could never really take the art writing thing any further in a kind of professional context. But there were various opportunities that came along. There has been a real push over the last couple of years to grow and support and develop the art writing scene in the northwest of England, which is been brilliant because it has meant that there have been quite a few critical writing development opportunities available to kind of emerging writers, which I've really benefited from. So I took advantage of a few of those and was starting to get independent commissions from artists, and I was starting to pitch to more and more magazines and develop more experience. So it all kind of came together quite organically and quite nicely, and I just slowly eased my way into writing in a more professional context.
That gives some really good suggestions and advice for other young writers and art historians who might want to get involved and start furthering their writing skills and possibilities. Can you introduce us to some of the various publications and galleries that you work with and your involvement in some of their beginnings?
Of course, I guess I have quite a few different roles. The first one I've mentioned maybe is the Foudrinier, which is a magazine. I've been working with a small gallery called Paper in Manchester for a few years, writing their content in-house magazine / online blog for a while now. And then between me and the director, we kind of decided it was time to take that to a new level and be a bit more ambitious with the magazine. And so applied for Arts Council funding to relaunch it in a more kind of expanded, rebranded context, bringing in more writers from outside and going from just covering paper exhibitions to covering things going on across the region and also nationally and internationally. I was there from the very beginning with the Fédrinier in terms of setting it up and overseeing that. In terms of the other magazines that I work quite closely with, Creative Tourist has been going for about 10 years roughly, and I guess I've been involved throughout. It was one of the publications that I was pitching to and writing for on and off from the start, and that was a really accessible way into writing in a more well-known platform. But now, rather than being one of the, basically Creative Tourist changed their model a few years ago, and now rather than having contributors writing much of the content, it now operates on a model of having different sections, different areas of culture, and different editors who basically generate most of the content for each section. Now I'm the exhibitions editor for that publication and produce most of the content for that myself. So it's been a kind of gradual process there of being one of the contributors to then becoming the editor for the exhibition section and writing most of that content. And then in terms of Corridor 8, again, that is another publication where I've been contributing to it for years and then now have an editorial role, which is fantastic. And then the other publications I write for are generally ones where I work on a more contributor basis, pitching ideas and writing articles as per editor's commissions, which is something actually I would like to create more time for, because unfortunately the more regular commitments do take over. One of my aims is to start getting back to some of that kind of additional writing.
What have been a few of the most captivating projects or stories that you may have been involved in, and what made them so rewarding?
It's a really hard question. I think, not to just carry on talking about the Fédrinier, but that's been a complete education for me. Going through the whole process of creating a magazine from scratch and overseeing it in terms of editorial content, but also things like branding and design and kind of the whole behind-the-scenes web aspect of things. And also working with a team of other writers and helping to mentor and coach them in terms of helping to strengthen their own writing. That's been fantastic. In terms of other projects that I've been involved with, I think one of the best things for me in respect of art writing is the opportunities it gives you to meet a whole range of very interesting people and to move between a really wide range of projects constantly. I think with writing, it's the challenge of always having to read up on and become a kind of temporary expert on whatever subject the artist is addressing in their work. And you end up covering a huge range of subjects in your writing if you do embrace that.
For example, on Corridor 8 or the Papers magazine, there's a call for new writers, and they have opportunities for critical art writing, also residencies. Can you tell us a little bit more about the residencies?
Well, the residencies are actually quite a new model that Corridor 8 has been exploring over the last 2 years, possibly. It's a very, quite an innovative model and quite an exciting one. Basically, Corridor 8 teams up with various art galleries and art venues across the Northwest. And together they offer the opportunity for writers to take up residence within those spaces for a brief period of time. And that's quite interesting because rather than just writing a review of an exhibition, for example, a writer is given the opportunity to take the time and really invest in that organization or what they're doing and generate more creative, more explorative forms of text rather than traditional art writing. And in terms of getting involved, it's generally run on a kind of open call-out basis for the residencies. And then in terms of applying to become a writer for Corridor 8, as with most art writing publications, it's a case of getting in touch with the editors and sending proposals of things you would like to write about. My advice for writers or people wanting to start writing for art publications is to really kind of have a look around and see what publications are being made in your area that you could get involved with, and to consider whether your writing would fit in with these publications or if there are gaps in their content that you think you could fill, and then simply to get in touch with the people running those publications and send them some samples of your writing, show them that you have an ability already and that you're willing to learn, and to approach them with some good ideas for new content as well. That's kind of what we look for mostly at Corridorate and the other publications that I work for.
Have you noticed a change in the style questions or writing that interviewers are asking artists or the focus of their writing?
I think in terms of artist interviews and in terms of art writing in general, there is a far greater desire to be more creative in terms of approach. So I have started to see more interviews appearing where, rather than a straight interview, it may take the form more of a collaboration between artist and writer, or a kind of a more meandering discussion that with plenty of back and forth, and the interviewee starting to interview the interviewer sometimes, or with interventions into the text. I would say that there has been a shift towards more open and experimental forms of interviewing, I've noticed.
And are there any new projects or exhibitions you're working on that you'd like to share with us?
I've got a few different things going on at the moment, which is exciting. The Manchester International Festival opens in July, and I'm going to be writing about one of the commissions, Studio Creole, which actually looks fantastic. It's basically a series of performances by different writers from around the world that will be exploring themes such as language and storytelling and the problems surrounding translation, or possibly the creative opportunity surrounding translation, and that should be really interesting. I'm also working quite closely with a couple of different artists developed to work on exhibition catalogue texts for them. There's one project in particular which I think looks really interesting. There's an artist who works in a very kind of, very focused way around the architecture that grew out of the interwar period, specifically influenced by the ship designs that were taking off during the period and how they influenced the spread of modern architecture around the world. And I'm going to be doing something quite experimental for her. She's just quite open to doing something different with that text, so that should be really interesting. And then, yeah, a few other things going on, but I'm about to go on holiday next week, so I'm trying to focus on that for now, rather than thinking too much about the work for when I get back.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for being our guest this evening. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you continued success with your upcoming projects.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast, so thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you. That was Sarah Jaspin, freelance arts writer and editor, speaking with us from Manchester, England. I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and we thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.